Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mona Montgomery with this evening's edition of The Hula Hoax. There were no gas chambers. There was no pure Jew fat soap. There were no Jew skin lampshades. And there were no Mengelian experiments. What there were concentration camps, because Hitler had decided that the Jewish Bolsheviks, who were in the process in Russia of crucifying, torturing, and killing 65 million white Christian Russians, needed to be put in cages.
A person's not going to respect the opinion of someone who says, I don't believe it, and I'm not going to believe it. Why is your mind so closed that you have decided not to believe something before you've even looked at the evidence? That's not very intelligent. If a government appears to be acting against the interests of the people, it's mandated on the people that they investigate their government, especially if they're Americans, who have been told by their founding fathers that that's what they're supposed to do. Americans have to investigate their government and hold their government accountable. We aren't slaves. We're people with an investment in our government, with a say in our government, with a voice in our government. In this case, our government has sold out our children and our children's children in the amount of $7 trillion as we speak, with interest which can never be paid back. Our government has created a future for us which includes total bankruptcy. And when the bankruptcy occurs, all of the land in the United States of America will be turned over to the people who have bought it, who hold the title to it, the people who have loaned the money so that it could be bought by the owners. And that means Americans will not own America anymore. It will fall into the hands of the Russians, the Israelis, the Chinese. You don't sit back and watch a thing like that happen and say, it is my duty not to question my government, when it's exactly the opposite. It is your duty to question your government, not only for your sake, but for the sake of your children and your children's children. This Balfour Declaration, which was signed in 1919, is controlling us to this day. The Balfour Declaration said that come hell or high water, no matter what kind of trickery has to go on, the Jews are going to get Israel. And Israel is just the first step toward taking over the world. You don't stand by and watch a rogue terrorist state based on lies, deceits, and murders dominate the entire world. You have a duty to the world not to let that happen.
Why are we hogtied and made to feel like a bigot or an idiot when the same person that pays $1 million stud fee, some liberal Democrat that has racehorses, pays $1 million stud fee to breed to a secretariat's descendant, and yet he wants us to have our daughter breed to some filthy shit-skinned nigger. Now, why, by God, I want my daughter to breed to somebody that's better than me, so that her children will be better than that. That is how you make the world go on, and that's how you make society better, and that is called striving for excellence, and that's what man was supposed to do. He's supposed to strive for the best he can be on this earth, not slide into the morass of mud people. I mean, shit, do you want to run around with bones in your noses? Look what's happening in the world today. Go to a mall or something. Look at these friggin' teenagers, man. I mean, they got tattoos from ear to asshole, and they've got earrings in their friggin' eyelids, in their tongue, in their dick, and in their pussy lips, and shit like that, and on their nipples. I mean, this is idiotic. Our society, the great society that brought us to where we're at today in this world, and where we can feed the world and everything, is actually sliding back into the damn tribal morass of the mud people. We cannot be mud people. If we're mud people, we're screwed.
Who says, I'm going to sit down and have a beer with a black man, no matter what anybody says, is a traitor to their race. Multiculturalism means enforced integration between the races. Black and white children learning together, living together, dating together during their formative years. And what this does is encourage race mixing. Because of the recessive quality of the white genes, race mixing results in the extermination of the white race. In fact, intelligent white people believe that the Jews have purposely caused race mixing in order to exterminate the white race, since we see a pattern of extermination, starting with Russia in 1917, when the white Christian Tsar and Tsarina were assassinated, and then 65 million white Christians were murdered by Jews, who comprised 95% of the Politburo in the Communist Party in Russia. This is a huge death count that's been kept from the American media because it's Jew-controlled. After the Second World War, another Jewish instrument of white extermination came into being, known as the Morgenthau Plan, which openly admitted the German people had to be exterminated, and 20 million Germans were exterminated after the Second World War, the men killed in concentration camps and the women raped in an extermination program that was conducted through race mixing. Almost immediately, laws were put into place in America that opened our borders to encourage an influx of blacks and browns into our country, and integration was forced through busing. This put the white children at the effect of living with, learning with, and mixing with black children, which was yet another tool in the arsenal of the Jews' plan to exterminate the white race. Anyone who goes along with tools for his own race's extermination is a traitor to his race. Let's review the case of a man who impregnates and brings forth children from a woman who is half American Indian. We see a man who is dating or falling in love with a woman whose parents already committed the sin of race mixing. That means that one of her parents was an American Indian, which is a subhuman, savage beast, just slightly higher evolutionarily than the sub-Saharan Negro, and the other parent of this woman was a white person who had so little self-respect that he or she was willing to mix his genes with this savage Indian. They produce a mongrel child. Here comes a white American and says, "I think it's fitting that I should mix my seed with this mongrel. Then I can commit racial suicide and produce more mongrels." I don't think this is necessarily a bad thing, because the white race does not need within its gene pool people who don't have the moral fiber to understand that the genetic package they hand to their children is the most important gift they have to give, and the self-control sexually to see to it that their children are properly gifted with a good genetic package. But, let's face it, he is a race traitor. Why does the race traitor prefer the non-white woman to the white woman? Generally, he'll tell you it's because the white woman is bitchy. The white woman gives him trouble. How sad that this man can't communicate with his feminine counterpart. How can he imagine that he can go into the workplace, into the jungle, if you will, and fight for his survival against white men if he can't even hold his own in a conversation with a white woman? This is a man who is doomed to extinction, truly, and I think we do need to get his genes out of our gene pool. Another reason that the race traitor gives for not wanting to marry a white woman is that she's a snob, an elitist, which is certainly true. White women, like white men, are at the top of the food chain and just naturally resonate to the finer things in life. The white woman wants beautiful Dresden china on her table and nice linen, which she keeps ironed, and there's candles there. That's what the white woman needs to feel like a white woman. The race traitor can't stand this kind of ambiance. It threatens him. He wants mud dishes with jagged lines drawn on them, ethnic stuff, so that he can be comfortable,
because he is essentially a throwaway from the white race. He doesn't belong in the white race, and he's doing the right thing to select himself out of the white race. I say more power to him. Let him find the closest wench he can find, bed down to her in a bunch of sticks and mud, build a house out of these implements, and be happy. Just don't come around the white race, that's all we ask. And don't bring your mongrel children around, because we know they'll turn on our good white children and kill them, and we're not going to let you do that. What about the problem of genetic diseases? Don't you think you have a responsibility to give a good genetic package to your children? Now, I understand that the question of the impact on genetics of race mixing has been suppressed in our schools. That would be the last thing our Jewish masters would want us to understand. But we do know a few things. We know that the white man has zero genetic diseases. There's not one single disease that's specific only to white people. And there are only two diseases that are specific only to blacks, Ebola and sickle cell anemia, both of which are necessary for the black man's survival in the malaria-infested jungles. These diseases give the black men immunity against malaria. The Jew, on the other hand, who is the most thoroughly mongrelized group of people on the face of the world, have over 250 genetic diseases specific only to Jews. Does this not imply that race mixing opens up the genetic gates to serious genetic diseases? And since this is probably the case, why then would a white man risk his children's health by mixing his genetics with the genetics of another race? It would be cruelty to your children to do this. You don't want your children to be sick. You want them to be strong and healthy. This means you must not race mix. Race mixing opens up the gates to genetic diseases. What more do you need before you refrain from race mixing?
Oh, I'm a good old rebel, now that's just what I am. And for this Yankee nation, I do not give a damn. I'm glad I fought again, I only wish we'd won. I ain't asked any pardon for anything I've done. I hate the Yankee nation and everything they do. I hate the Declaration of Independence, too. I hate the glorious Union, 'tis dripping with our blood. I hate the striped banner, I fit it all I could. I rode with Robert E. Lee for 3 years thereabout. Got wounded in four places and I starved at Point Lookout. I caught the rheumatism a-camping in the snow. But I killed a chance of Yankees and I'd like to kill some more. 300,000 Yankees is stiff in southern dust. We got 300,000 before they conquered us. They died of southern fever and southern steel and shot. I wish there were 3 million instead of what we got. I can't take up my musket and fight 'em now no more. But I ain't gonna love 'em, now that is certain sure. And I don't want no pardon for what I was and am. I won't be reconstructed and I do not give a damn. Oh, I'm a good old rebel, now that's just what I am. For this Yankee nation, I do not give a damn. I'm glad I fought again, I only wish we'd won. I ain't asked any pardon for anything I've done. I ain't asked any pardon for anything I've done.
Why don't we talk about Jew Watch? Does everybody know the story of www.jewwatch.com, put up by our own spewboy, a.k.a. Frank Weltner, the couch potato? Well, Frank Weltner put up that site, www.jewwatch.com, in 1997 to reveal the truth about the Jews. He put links to various news articles and only put a little bit of editorializing of his own. It was, in essence, a library of materials regarding the Jews. And, without him even knowing it, it became so popular that when you went to the Google search engine and typed in the word J-E-W for Jew, out of 1.7 million sites, Frank Weltner's site came up in first position. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? The Jews prevailed on Google to strike the position of Jew Watch down. So that now when you put in J-E-W in Google search engine, it doesn't come up at all. Do you think that we, as the people of the United States of America, have a cause of action against Google for false advertising now that we know they have not been being fair? If enough people put pressure on Google, they will change the linkage to your search engines so that you will not get a fair reading if it doesn't go along with their political agenda. How's that for twisting the American dream? The subject matter for the day is Jew Watch. Does everybody know that Jew Watch is back up again? It's been up and it's been down and it's been up and it's been down for the last 2 weeks since the Jews attacked it. And how do you feel about the fact that the Jews wrote to Google and insisted that Google change their logarithmic system so that Jew Watch could not be in the first position of 1.7 million websites, which it had rightfully earned without any promotion or any advertisements, just because people wanted to access it? And they wrote to Google and said, change your system, Google. We're not going to allow an anti-Semitic site become number one. And first Google fought it, but the last time I checked, Jew Watch does not show up anywhere on the Google search engine. Why should we be talking about nuking Arabs when our own personal civil rights are being destroyed right here in California? When a search engine as big as Google caves into political pressure, we know that we don't have freedom of speech anymore. And freedom of speech is our God-given right and the legacy given to us by our founding fathers. We as people have the right to believe that the results of the search engines are scientifically gathered from algorithms, not by political agendas. But in an article written in the New York Times, it was revealed that the Jews had put pressure on Google to change the results of their search engine because they didn't like the fact that Frank Weltner's site was more popular than their site. This is something all Californians, all Americans, and all citizens of the world need to focus on. Here on the internet, we have a right to fair results. We do not have to submit to being manipulated by the Jews to receive only information that the Jews want us to receive. Most people won't even believe what I'm telling them when I tell the story, but I have to repeat it so it can get through your brainwashed synapses to understand what's happened here. Jew Watch reached number one position out of 1,700,000 websites just because the truth was being told on a humble little site put up by one small guy with very little money. 1,700,000 websites, and his came up number one when you typed in Jew in the Google search engine. The Jews found out about it, and they wrote a letter to Google and said, we do not like the fact that an anti-Semitic site has found its way to number one. You must change this. Well, it wasn't even anti-Semitic. It simply told the truth about the Russian Revolution, about the fact that the Jews comprised 95% of the Politburo in Russia, the fact that these Jews organized the Khazarian Jews by outfitting them with guns, black leather jackets, and black pants, and told them to go about the countryside in Russia and kill, rape, murder, torture everyone they found that owned real estate or personal property or was an officer in the army or was a police in the police station or had dental work or had any other signs of being other than the lowest class person in Russia. Between 1917 and the end of the Second World War, they had killed 65 million white Christian Russians, not counting the people who died on the battlefield. That death count was kept from us here in America by the fact that the Jews control our media. That was the information that was on Frank Welter's site, Jew Watch, and that's the information the Jews don't want you to know, and that's why the Jews put pressure on Google to take that site off of its listing. It's still found. You can still find it in Google if you put in other words, but you cannot find it if you type in the word Jew. They have messed up their system to please the Jew, and this is an assault on our right to free information here in America. This is the butchery you need to look at. Don't walk around because the Jew tells you to and brag about killing little Arabian children. Have the courage to face your real enemy, the Jew, and demand the right to free information here on the Internet. What about the fact that this atrocity occurred to one of our very own people, Frank Welter, also known as Spew Boy, also known as the Couch Potato? Doesn't it concern you that one of our favorite people has had his career stopped right when it was starting to soar to the heights? This website was starting to go through the roof, just like the Drudge Report, when Matt Drudge revealed the relationship between Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. When the New York Times found out that Google was contemplating tweaking their numbers and taking Jew Watch out of number one position, people from all over the world wanted to know who Jew Watch was, and the numbers went through the roof. Now the numbers are going down because the Jews have managed to stifle our free speech here in America, our right to free information, our right to a free press. And this man, who might have become an important celebrity in America, a soldier for the truth, for free speech, has to concern himself with fighting for his right to tell the truth in his own country, where his own forefathers died and fought so that he would have that right. It's time for us, my fellow Americans, to put our lives on the line, or at least some of our time, and start writing letters to one another and then to our politicians to let them know we are not going to allow this to happen to us. One of the perpetrators of this hideous crime against the truth was a senator named Charles Schumer, who wrote to Frank Welter's IP server and told him not to allow him to have an IP server because the information on WW Jew Watch didn't satisfy the ADL. Is this not a violation of our constitutional right to free speech being perpetrated on Frank Welter and the rest of us by a state agent? Is this not a serious crime? The Jew does come into our midst just exactly like a cancer cell. If you studied HIV, you'll discover that the cancer cell in HIV communicates with the healthy cell and understands, learns how to change its shape so that it can get under the immune system of the healthy individual. Then the cancer cell, which has made itself look like a healthy cell, devours one of the healthy cells and invites its fellow cancer cell again underneath the immune system of the healthy individual to create a cancerous tumor. That's exactly how the Jew behaves. That's why we have Jews among us right here on the Internet. Jewesses, for example, who claim to be innocent housewives, but the minute Spew Boy's or Frank Welter's site was taken down by Google, she was right there to brag with information no housewife could have about the fact that Google was going public and nobody as insignificant as Frank Welter could possibly be a threat to Google. Why does this so-called housewife have this kind of information? Because she is an agent for the ADL, and she comes among us here on the Internet to propagandize us and make us believe that we are not good people, that Frank Weltner does not have the right to tell the truth, that he is an insignificant person, and yet he's our favorite person here on the internet. We love to hear Frank Weltner. Every time we hear his voice, everybody stops to listen, and listen intently. That's why his website went all the way up to number one out of 1,700,000 websites. And that's why the Jews forced Google to take this website out of its rightful place in the queue. And that's why we Americans have to figure out a way to stop this from happening. When we go to our search engines, do we not have the right to a fair, honest result? Do we have to sit here and stay victims to this Jew-controlled tweaking of these search engines? I think we need to do something. I think we need to possibly sue this company for false advertising, lulling us into a belief that we're learning true history when we're learning false history, giving our children incorrect data to use on their dissertations that they present to their classrooms. What about the Muslim voice? Do we not have the right to hear from the very people we are destroying? Should we be dropping bombs on Iraq that have so much depleted uranium that thousands of babies in Iraq are being born without faces, without eyes and noses? Don't we at least have the right to know the crime we're being implicated in? But yet our government killed two Arabian news reporters from Al Jazeera and bombed the news station at Al Jazeera, so we can't get the information from Iraq. If we're going to be dragged into a hideous crime against humanity, don't you think we have at least the right to know the information surrounding the crime we ourselves are committing? Don't you think that Spewvoy might have a lawsuit against Google for taking his website out of the number one position by falsely creating results to searches? I think that a history teacher or a librarian like Spewvoy has a right to rely on the integrity of these search engines and might have a lawsuit against Google for interfering with his career as a historian and a librarian. I think it's clear that you could sue a library for keeping your book out of the library because the board of directors didn't like you personally. But a library is a state agent, whereas Google is a private company. So you can't get Google on a constitutional tort. Still, it seems to me that where Google advertises itself as being a legitimate search engine, and your website is kept off of the search engine because some people have asked Google to keep your website off, you should have some tort against Google on the basis of slander or interference with your career. Google's response would not be that they were entitled to take the site down or to tweak the results because the site was a hate speech site. If that were the issue, that could easily be defeated in a country that has the First Amendment. Google's response, and the one I'm trying to figure out how to respond to, would be that they have an absolute right to publish results any way they want to, that they're not held to a standard of fairness. I'm trying to figure out how I can prove that Google does have a responsibility to the internet, to everyone that has a website on the internet, to conduct a fair search, with Spewvoy being just one out of the other, I think it's 20, how many million? Maybe it's 2 billion, I'm not sure. It's a lot of websites on the web. We're all entitled to believe, because I think Google has led us to believe, that their search engine is legitimate. If it is not legitimate, it seems to me, the people who are being harmed in their career have some kind of a tort against them, even though they're not a state agent. As for suing Charles Schumer, yes, definitely there's a lawsuit there. But I'm concerned with this California corporation, Google, because I think that would be an interesting lawsuit all in itself. Google is going public this week, but it doesn't matter that Google is going public. The company does not have a responsibility to the American public. It has a responsibility to its stockholders. Now, it is quite possible, and this is an interesting thought, that a stockholder of Google could sue Google under a... there's a name for this type of tort where the stockholder sues the corporation for lowering the value of the stock. A stockholder could sue Google for destroying its legitimacy and thereby destroying its value to the public. That's one idea. I definitely want to bring the ADL and Chuck Schumer into this lawsuit, but I have to start in California because Google, luckily for me, the world's hottest racist attorney in the entire universe, Google is a California corporation, and I am entitled, because I am a California lawyer, to file a lawsuit against Google. And so the first step is to find a decent tort against Google, and then we can expand the lawsuit and bring people in from all over the country, including Chuck Schumer and the ADL and everybody who shows up in the discovery to have been involved in this. Is it not true that by acting upon Frank Weltner's website as a hate site, they are, in essence, slandering Frank Weltner, who is a historian and a librarian, as a hater? And that seems to me certainly a good tort for slander that he has against Google. The skivvy is that our own governor here in California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, is planning to invest in Google when it goes public, which is imminent. That means that our own governor needs desperately to know that Google has been filching its figures. Our governor is not going to want to invest in a project where they filch their figures, because look at it this way. If you're looking for a search engine, you're looking for an honest search engine, aren't you? Isn't that what a search engine is? A search engine is supposed to give you legitimate results to your search. You use your intellect to come up with a question, you plug it into the computer, and you think you're getting an honest answer. Now you tell me, of the two search engines, the one that gives you legitimate results and the one that gives you illegitimate results, which search engine are you going to depend on to write your paper for your dissertation? The legitimate search engine, like Hotbot, which shows that Jewwatch is the number one website when you plug in the word Jew, or an illegitimate search engine like Google? People are not going to be going to Google anymore. This $2 billion corporation is going to belly up the minute people learn the truth about it. We have to notify our governor and warn him that not only in our interests as students and scholars and researchers, but his personal interest is at stake. If he invests in this bastardized company, he's going to lose his shirt, while our little engine, Hotbot, is going to be the next big search engine to go. And that's where you'll want to invest. You'll want to invest in the legitimate search engine, the one people can trust. The problem is that the Jews have put pressure on a lot of the search engines. When I went to several of them, like AltaVista, I found the same result that I got from Google. So what we need to do is to find that one lonely, honest search engine. And if there is none, at this time, Hotbot is still honest, but they may have just missed Hotbot in their scourge against the human psyche. If there is no honest search engine, then we need to put one up. And then we will be the one and only legitimate search engine. Now, do you think that would be worth some money?
Well, you can hardly call it controversial to advertise that your search engine is entirely untweaked. That's not controversial. The controversy is the search engines that are tweaking their results. in an atmosphere where we are led to believe that they are not. I would simply set up a search engine, however clumsy at first, and make it known that we take pride in a legitimate result to your search, that there is no censorship. If you want to censor these results, you're going to have to do it through your own computer, and watch people come to our website. There are people in this world who want to study the truth, who want to write dissertations for their PhD, who want to have respect for being legitimate scholars. Every one of those people will choose our suit over Google, our search engine over that of Google, because they want to get the results. So we would not be controversial. It's just a question of how much does it cost and how do you start. It seems to me like you would start slowly, that you would start small. Some of these search engines only give you results for about 600,000 websites instead of 1.5 million websites. They don't, for some reason, have access to all the websites. Their equipment isn't as big. But at least we could advertise it, and advertise it honestly, that we are giving you legitimate, uncensored, unfiltered results.
Give me a little blues on the old hound dog, Mr. Uncle John.
All right.
Oh, shit.
Myself.
I ain't going to work on a railroad.
I ain't going to work nowhere.
I ain't going to work on a farm.
Not me, no.
I just lay around my shack
every day
till the mail train gets back. Then I'm going to roll in my sweet baby song.
Rolling in my sweet baby song. Rolling in my sweet baby song. I'll lay around the shack till the mail train comes back. I'll roll in my sweet baby's arms. I ain't gonna work on the railroad.
You ain't gonna work at all.
So I ain't gonna work on the farm. I'll lay around the shack till the mail train comes back. And I'll roll in my sweet baby's arms. Rolling in my sweet baby's arms.
It's not true that there were only 3 Jews killed in the World Trade Center. The truth is there were only 3 Israelis killed in the World Trade Center. However, it is true that a large proportion of the Jews who should have been at work were not at work, and it is true that rabbis did call Jews and tell them not to go into work. But the way we know that, besides the anecdotal evidence of people admitting that they knew of rabbis calling Jews, we do know that the first count which we were given over the news was 6,000 had died when the building came down, and that number was changed to 3,000. The government is not allowing us to look at the list of the people who died as compared with the list of the people who worked in the building. So we can't make a determination as to how many of the people who were saved by not showing up at work were Jewish. But we can think or speculate that they were Jews because we know that rabbis were calling Jews and telling them not to go in. In America, it's considered immoral to support your own kind to the detriment of the people as a whole. That's why we have affirmative action, because even though white people never did anything wrong, it was discovered that black people weren't getting a piece of the action in the business world. So we instituted affirmative action 50 years ago. It's run its course and it's time to call a halt to it. But as Americans, we believe that everyone in the society should be allowed to partake in business, politics, and things like that. Everyone, that is, except the Jew. The Jew has been going about his business while the white man has stood back and given fair treatment to the black. The Jew has gone ahead and given help to the Jew, to the point where now, although the Jews only comprise 2% of the American population, they enjoy 70% of America's positions of influence and power. At least this is what law professor Dershowitz claims, who's a professor at Harvard. This is not because the Jews are so much more gifted. It's because the Jews cheat, at least from the point of view of Americans. This is called cheating. You're not supposed to indulge in nepotism in America. In fact, it's illegal, but the Jew does. He greases palms, he bribes politicians, and he only favors his own kind. That is un-American, and that's why the Jew has to be sent home. He simply cannot grasp the concept upon which America is based, which is that we're supposed to be fair to everyone and not put another country before the interests of this country. The Jew puts Israel first, the Jew puts the Jew first, and everyone gets cut out. I want to discuss the history of the Jews. And remember, the Jews, 5,000 years ago, were a nomadic people who followed herds of animals for their living, while the more advanced civilizations in Sumeria and Egypt were thriving. These Jews went over to Egypt for jobs whenever there were droughts in Israel. And on one occasion, a famous Jew in history named Joseph went over to Egypt, made friends with the Pharaoh, and taught the Pharaoh how to cheat the Egyptian people. The Egyptians at that time were Caucasians. We know that by looking at their statues and the pictures on the walls. They had light skin and blue eyes, and red hair or blonde hair. These Caucasians genetically do not exploit their own people. In fact, if it weren't for the influence of the Jew, they would never have brought the blacks over to this country to exploit. And we've gone overboard making up for that mistake. But the Caucasians, who were the Egyptian pharaohs 5,000 years ago, often did give jobs to sub-Saharan Negroes and Jews and other lower-level racial types whenever there were problems in those areas, most notably droughts. These slaves, if you want to call them that, would come up to Egypt, get jobs, get money. I mean, they would get food and they'd get taken care of until the droughts cleared up, and then they'd go back to their own parts of the world. Joseph, the man with the coat of many colors, was one of these Jews, and he convinced Pharaoh to stop being so fair with the Jews, with the Egyptian people. He convinced Pharaoh that what he could do to become really rich was let Joseph, this Jew, get in charge of the granaries and the water and stockpile grain for 7 years from that the Egyptians would sell to the government, and then Pharaoh would pay them fair market value for the grains, stick it in the granary, and keep it for 7 years. Then Joseph convinced Pharaoh to allow Joseph to divert the water from the Nile, so that the grain fields would dry up, and he caused a 7-year drought. That meant that now the people, the Egyptian people, had to go to the government and buy grain that was stocked in the granary for 100 times its usual price. This is a typical trick of the Jews, and it was so horrible on the Jews that after a couple more generations of mongrelization between this guy Joseph and the Pharaonic line, the entire 18th dynasty had to collapse and the 19th dynasty came into power. We're seeing that happen now. Again, the Jews have subverted the American government by creating the Federal Reserve Bank, which is about to put us into bankruptcy. The Federal Reserve Bank is a system which is owned by individual Jews, not by the government, not by the federal government, whereby our government passes a law saying we need, let's say, $1 million to do something. We don't have the money, of course. So we go to the Federal Reserve and we ask them for the money. They print out worthless money, give it to our government. It gets put into the monetary system, which brings the value of the dollar down. But what's worse, our people, the American taxpayer, has to pay interest on that money to these Jews, the Federal Reserve Bank, who gave us worthless money. It's very much like what they did in ancient Egypt. And they do it all over the place. They do it all the time. This is a typical Jewish trick which has been going on for thousands of years.
You might want other people to think that by my standing up for myself, I threaten you, but I don't. I haven't referred to your speech as hate speech, and I haven't referred to you as dangerous, and what you're doing is you are using a Talmudic manipulating method to make the people outside of this conversation that don't really have a background to it dislike me and what I have to say. And I want my right to free speech to be understood the same as you have the right to free speech in America. This isn't Israel yet. Hopefully, we still have the right to free speech.
In Palestine, the Christians are being persecuted just exactly side by side with the Palestinians. 10% of the people there are Christians, and they too are finding their children gassed, their homes bulldozed, deprived of the right to vote. Are we Americans, a white Christian country, supposed to stand by and watch white Christians in Palestine treated this way just because we are under the control of the Jew here in America? These Christians in Palestine that are being persecuted are related to and descendants from the original Christians that Christ himself converted. These are the first Christians ever to walk the face of the earth, and their children are being destroyed, their houses destroyed, their lives destroyed by the same Jews who are perverting our sense of justice and our right to free speech right here in America. These same people who struck down Frank Weltner's website so that we couldn't hear the truth are killing and persecuting the original Christians who live in Palestine today. We stood by and turned our faces from communist Russia when the Iron Curtain fell down and trusted that all was well with the Russian people, only to find out when the Berlin Wall fell that 65 million innocent white Christians had been murdered by the Jews, who comprised 95% of the Russian Politburo. We should learn from history. We should not turn our face from this catastrophe of today and allow this to go on. We have a responsibility to our fellow Christians in Palestine, even if we don't see that we also have a responsibility for humanitarian reasons to the Palestinian Muslims. We must free the Christians in Palestine. We turned our backs on the Christians in South Africa. 5,000 of them were massacred by tribes of Africans who went in and chopped them to pieces while they were still alive with farm implements. We turned our backs on the white Christian farmers in Zimbabwe when Mugabe's men went in and massacred them. We cannot continue to turn our eyes away from our own people, our own Christian people, our own white Christian people who have genetic links to us here in America in favor of the Jews. We have to stop being traitors to our own race, to our own people.
America is a Christian country, not a Jewish country. America cannot condone the massacre of American soldiers or American money being used by Israeli Jews to massacre Christians, the original Christians, the Christians Christ himself converted. We have to have some sense of loyalty to our own kind. Otherwise, we fall prey to the force of foreigners, which we have done. Because America has lost her sense of identity, we have now become the tools of the Jews to commit atrocities against both the Palestinians, the Arab Palestinians, and the Christian Palestinians. This is when it becomes self-destructive. Just as we turned our eyes away from the massacre of the white Christians, 65 million of them, at the hands of the Jews in Russia, we are now turning our face away from the Christians in Palestine who are being massacred by the Jews. There comes a point where human beings have to be loyal to their own kind. Without loyalty to your own kind, you become prey to the force of your alien. That's what's happened here in America. The Jews are alien to us, but they're controlling us, making us go to war in Iraq to further the interests of Israel, which has no effect, no positive effect on America's interests. In fact, it has a huge, devastating effect on America's interests. We have already lost $200 billion and many lives of our American soldiers on that silly war, and God knows what the eventual repercussions will be on America in terms of our relationship to the rest of the world, who hates us for our unfairness, our injustice.
I want to defend Adam's Bible. It's actually a very good book, and it takes off from the King James Version of the Bible to explain the white man's feelings about being exterminated, which are pretty important, I would say. We don't want to see any of the three great major races become exterminated, especially my race, the white race. So what Adam's Bible does is it takes the King James Version and sort of reframes it in a way that white people can understand what's always been there, which is all kinds of racial laws and prohibitions against race mixing, which is seen in the King James Version as the first sin and the worst sin. So there is a very legitimate argument why white people would object to this Jew-inspired immigration and miscegenation and integration. In fact, all three of these forces are contributing to the extermination of the white race and should be stopped. The white race should be allowed to stay unto its own self if it wants to. It should be allowed to separate. Black people have Africa and Asians have Asia. So surely you can see why the white race should also have their own white homelands exclusive only to white people.
Thank you for listening tonight, ladies and gentlemen, to this evening's edition of The Holohoax. See you next week, same time, same station.